Welcome to Your Ultimate Life Podcast, where we help you break free from mediocrity and create a life of purpose, prosperity, and joy. Get your free video series at yourultimatelife.ca.
Hi there. Welcome to Your Ultimate Life. If you don't have your free stuff yet, go there right now. www.yourultimatelife.ca. It's free stuff that I've created just for you, the five master keys to create your ultimate life. Why would you not want those master keys? Because you deserve it and you can have it. Today, I want to talk about creating a powerful team. Now, if you have any kind of a business, it is difficult to expand beyond a very limited point without a team. And the team can look all kinds of different ways. And we're going to talk about paid teams and unpaid teams and how to find them and everything else. The first thing I want to do is tell you some stories, experiences. One of the first things that Joy and I did when we started on this journey in 2008, beginning of 2008, end of 2007, actually, was we were talking about what we were going to do. Because as you know, the story was that we just both walked away completely from not only the jobs we had, but the entire industry. An entire career ended on that day. And we walked off into the sunset, said, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And we didn't know. And we started thinking, and I had not, like, now I'm an author and a coach and a bunch of stuff, but we did not know. I didn't even have that as an inkling in my eye, because remember, I had just gotten sober from being a $3,000 a week cocaine addict, and I'd quit. And Joy had miraculous, urgings to go with me and onto this adventure of creation. So we did. Now, the first thing we thought about was something that Joy had done before and had done on the side. I didn't really have a side hustle that could do anything yet. So, but she did. She had been an eBay merchant for many, many years, like 15 or 20 years, and had made good money at it, paid for her European vacations, which she took for a month every year while she was doing other work. And so she knew how to do that. And so we ramped that up right away. Now, here's the thing. Again, when you're by yourself, when she was doing that alone, she would source things, and the things that she sold were antiques and collectibles. Her dad was an archaeologist, so she had some of his stuff. He had passed away in 2005, a couple of years before that, and so she had a collection of arrowheads and other kinds of things that she could sell, and she did. She had old watch parts because he fixed watches and clocks. So she had some pocket watches, a collection of those. And it wasn't just to sell them. They had to be, looked at and so he figured out what they were and their value. And there was a lot of research involved. And then she's also an expert in glassware, old China, that was made in not China, Japan, and some in Russia and other places, Bavarian works in England, Royal Albert, Royal Dalton, and I would never have known those names except for her. So she had some of that. She knew how to get it, silverware, old silver plate, and that kind of stuff. So we started doing that. We set up, and I became her team. So I went and got lights and a place for her to take pictures and that kind of stuff. In addition, I had a lot of paring down to do because I had been in my idiot days, which had been all the years before that, a wild consumer of things. So I had clothing that was very expensive, some of which I hadn't even worn. We could sell all that. We just started thinking, okay, what can we do here to start creating? So we went all in to create that sort of thing, and we did that. And so she did that, and I helped to some extent, setting up lights and doing some things like that. Then I said, okay, what can I do? I had always had a recording studio and had done a lot of music. So I got the gear that I had and bought a few other things and set up a recording studio, and I began to record music. Now, that's continued till this day, and that I have 88, it'll be 91 pretty quick, songs on Spotify that are, and Apple and Amazon and all the rest of the distribution platforms that are part of my creative output, all kinds of different music. So And if you, I'd encourage you, go to Spotify and look up my name. There's some really good stuff there. And it tells, some of it tells stories from my transformation, from my healing and all the rest. And some of it might be good, might be fun for you. But anyway, so that's what we did to start with. And we were each other's team. I was mostly her team. Then we moved from to Phoenix after a year at the end of 2008. When we got to Phoenix, we really went all in on the eBay stuff for a while. Phoenix is a fabulous place for auction sales because Phoenix, Arizona, and Florida are two places people retire, and then there's a lot of people who die there, and then there are estate sales and that kind of stuff. So we would go regularly to auction houses on Wednesday night auction, Tuesday day auction. There was just different ones. And she went. Sometimes I went along just to be the pack horse. And I'm telling you this story to talk about the teams. So as that business ramped up and started really doing well, then I became the packing and shipping team. I got really familiar with, you know, the postal rates and how to pack things. And I was good about it because a lot of it was glass. And so we had to make sure things didn't break. And we did break a few things. And I had to learn to do that well. And so, you know, every afternoon, weekdays at least, sometimes on Saturday, I would take, you know, 2 or 3 hours, depending on how much stuff there was to pack it and ship it. And, you know, we would say, oh, time to do the packing and shipping. And so I would do that. And we worked together as a team. Then I started writing in 2009 and 10. I started writing and wrote 5 books on meditation. And I began to think, okay, I'm doing this music. I created some music for that. And we started this creative process also. And then I started enlisting Joy's expertise in marketing because she in the eBay world had a lot of expertise, not only on eBay, but also Etsy and some other sites, and had some pretty good insights about how to do marketing. Well, that's is the lifeblood of any business where you sell your products and services online. So we began to work together a little bit there, and it was kind of rough and messy at first as we figured that part out. And I'm telling you that part because it's important to understand that creating a team, an effective and powerful team to support your business, is going to be a bit of trial and error. You know, that you're going to make mistakes. You're going to try things that work and things that don't with people as well as methods. Okay. One of the most important pieces, so there's more to that story, and I'll pick it up in a minute, but I want to talk for a second about one of the pieces of a team. One of the first pieces of a team is your customers. And I learned this very quickly helping Joy with her eBay business because she was very obsessed almost with her rating, top seller rating, positive things, 5-star feedback all the time, because that became a team, a marketing team. If you don't have high ratings, top seller is awarded to people that have a certain rating and have a certain number of thousands of sales that she had accumulated. And so she got that, and that really matters because that lets you be listed first when people look up stuff, just like Google rankings. So you know, your stuff gets listed first, and you then people see the top seller and 5 stars and all that kind of stuff. And you know what that does? I mean, you look for it and I do it. So the first piece of your team that you can cultivate is your customer. And that's an unpaid team. And the idea there is, okay, well, here's the question. What do you need to do to serve your customers so well that they are a testimonial for you all the time, whether they give one of those weird looking testimonials where people, you know, stand against the wall at an event and it looks like they're a deer in a headlight and they're saying something against a blank wall. Those aren't very effective and they don't sound very authentic anyway. So I'm not talking about those kind of testimonials, but feedback. Arrived on time, well packed, beautifully done. One of the fun things that we did is one of the auction sales we went to, she bought an entire set of Mexican pottery style dinnerware. And it had plates and salad plates and cups and, you know, sugar and, you know, a whole bunch of pieces, right? And the guy that bought it, we bought it and then put it up, you know, on for sale. And a guy bought it and it was a famous and I can't think of the name right now, but it was a well-known pottery designer. And the guy that bought it was an airline pilot. And he was based in Germany. And so he didn't want us to ship it to Germany. He wanted us to ship it to Florida because he planned on, and he said, I'll get it here in Florida and I will repack it for shipment overseas, because I guess he assumed that it needed to be better than it was going to come. So I packed it very carefully and well, and it was a full set, and it was a couple of moving boxes full, and they were heavy, and et cetera, et cetera. And that one of the nicest pieces of feedback that we got was that this was packed so well, they did not need to repack it for shipment to Germany. So that kind of feedback, as well as stuff on time, exactly as advertised, shipped quickly, you know, all the good things that people say on those online platforms really mattered. So that was the first part of our team. And we cultivated that carefully. Customer feedback is an important thing. So that is a piece of unpaid team that anyone, no matter what your business is, can cultivate. Now, there's several ways to get feedback, testimonials. One is built-in platforms like that. Here's a secret that I've learned. When you go to someone and you say, I need a testimonial, would you be willing to give me one? They often don't have any idea what to say. They don't really know what you want, and it feels awkward. I've been asked that, and it feels awkward. And so here's what I do. When I get asked to provide feedback or a testimonial, and I just did that last week for someone who is a client, and I've seen their work, and I've also used their services. And so I said, tell me what would matter the most to those who would see this. What do you think would matter the most to potential clients of yours? And I want, and in all sincerity, I say, tell me what that is, and I'll see if I can say that for you. And so in that way, I find out so that I can provide the most valuable feedback and testimonial. Now, if you're trying to get feedback from, you know, not on a platform like eBay, or you're a coach like I am, or, you know, that kind of thing, you help with marketing or you help with design or whatever it is, and you want to get some feedback, here's the way to do that. I say to people, it is helpful for other people to understand your experience in the program. Can you tell me what your experience has been? Have we met your needs? And I ask that, and I ask the kinds of questions. Have we met your needs? What are the highlights? What do you think was missing? And I ask that all the way through the program so that I can make adjustments and changes, because my programs are several months long and I get to do that. And my real goal is to help people no matter what and to make sure they get the help they need. So I always ask that. When you're looking for, you know, this kind of recommendation, testimonial, and I don't really like the word testimonial because of that sort of weird look against the wall at a conference kind of thing. But I ask all the way through what's good, what was bad, what do you want improved? I tend not to use the word bad, but what would you like to see changed, improved, et cetera, et cetera. And I add things and change things all the time in response to that. But I ask them, are we doing what you want? Did you get what you want? You feel like you're in the place you need to be. You know, in coaching programs, we always set goals at the end of 90 days or 6 months. Where do you want to be? What do you want to have that you don't have today? And then I check on that regularly. So then when it's time for me to ask, and I just say, would you be willing to describe your experience in the program? Because other people, just like you, when you came into the program, they want to know what they're going to get. And one of the best ways to do that is for others that are in the program to describe their experience. So would you be willing to do that? And they either will or won't. And then I also say, what I found to be most helpful for people is this: describe your experience here. Did you get your questions answered? Did it create the results you wanted? Were you able to understand? You know, I ask the kinds of things, and I do that so that they don't feel like, I have no idea what to say. I have no idea what you want. I have no idea, blah, 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 because those tend to be those wooden, not very effective recommendations. So that is how you can get unpaid team. Unpaid team is your customers, and testimonials and that sort of thing. All right. Now, there's another whole unpaid team that you can have, and that is because of social media. Now, 10 years ago, we barely had that, right? 24, so not 2006, I guess we're going on 15, 16 years now. But we, you know, that hasn't been around very long. And for those of you that are only 30, then that seems like most of your life. But here's the thing. 25 years ago, even 20 years ago, we didn't have that. When I ran the recording studio to start with, I advertised in the Yellow Pages. And I advertised in the local newspaper. And eventually found out through trial and error, the best way to advertise was in a news and arts paper called The New Times that was in Phoenix. It was free every, I think, Friday. That showed up at, you know, Circle K and gas stations. Those ads did best, so I quit using the Yellow Pages and I quit using the regular paper because the people that I wanted as clients read that paper. But I found that out by trial and error. Today, we have other reach-out opportunities. We have social media. Now, social media is used for all kinds of different things, you know, and it's evolved over the last 15 years. Facebook started one way, and it was free and there were no ads, and now there's ads, and now you can't even get any reach on social media, and especially on Instagram, without paying for it. So it's turned into a real just advertising pay to play. And keeping track of those evolutions allows you to use social media in the best way to be an unpaid team member, an unpaid advertising team member. There's tons of free stuff that you can do. Okay, videos, live videos tend to get a little bit more juice than uploaded videos, but that changes. Reels were very, very popular just a little while ago, and they've gone less so. And stories, you know, stories and reels. But understanding how that free team member works is important, just like I just described about how to get recommendations or the dreaded word testimonials for your products and services to get client reaction. So learning to use social media effectively is so powerful because it's free. Now you can also pay for it. We'll get to that in paid team stuff in a minute. But using social media effectively is a massive boost to your business, can be a massive boost to your business. And here's how you do that. How you do that is you need to understand the demographic. Who uses that social media platform? What do they come to that platform to get? Do you need, what is the organic reach when you post something on there? And you won't know that by yourself without being active on it for several months. And you can read about it and you can, you know, find out Reddits and there are courses and so forth that lots of marketing people offer about how to get clients on this platform or that platform. And then those are often also paid. But learning how to use this astounding, amazing, free platform is really important. And yes, there are real benefits to free. YouTube is one of the powerful ones because it's different. Like social media, Facebook and Instagram, it scrolls, right? You put something on and it disappears. Like you're lucky if you can find it again in 15 minutes. So posts tend to go away very quickly in people's news feeds. LinkedIn has now modeled that. They didn't used to be that way, but they've become a lot more like Facebook. You can do lives and there's a feed and so forth. The kinds of people that go look at those are different though. So understanding your demographic and figuring out when to post, like when is your demographic on that social media? What do they come for? And then tailoring your posts to that. So another thing about social media is some people use it just to be fun. Like their trips and where they went and kids and swimming and birthday parties. Well, that's fine. And there's nothing wrong. In fact, there's something very right about being the human side of you in those things on those platforms. But if you're going to use it for business, you have to do it on purpose. It's not haphazard. It's very intentional. Now, in this episode, I certainly don't have time to teach all the things we've learned about social media and how to use it and where to use it and which platforms. But I do teach that. I do teach that. And if you'd like to learn, reach out to me and let's talk. I have some courses that go through that and those change all the time. So it doesn't matter what you've learned about it. It's wrong because it changes every week and you have to know and keep track of that. Both the free stuff. And now we're going to move into the paid stuff, and also team members, paid team members, because we use those also. my wife, my business partner, my angel, she is a master of that. She's in several masterminds to keep track of what's changing, how the algorithms are working, what the demographics are, and on and on and on. And so she runs that part of our business, and she's really good at it. And it comes right out of her old eBay business and the stuff that she did before. Now, as we have developed, you know, the business, the coaching business and the books that I've written, you know, I've written like 19 books now, and the music, all of that has now become the big piece, and the eBay piece has shrunk. And so we're now working together as a team, and she also runs a publishing company. And so she knows a ton about marketing and so forth. So, and we teach courses about that. All right. Now, the third part of team, you have unpaid team that's customers, unpaid team that's proper use of social media, and you do have to learn that. And I can't possibly teach that in a 30-minute episode. The third part is your paid team, okay? Now, the paid team consists of three things. You have how you use your ad spend, if you use Google or Facebook or Instagram or YouTube or LinkedIn or Pinterest ads, okay? And those are all different. Twitter ads also, or X. Knowing, again, the platform, who uses it, when to use it, how to spend. Do you do long running ads at a few dollars a day? Do you do big ad spend? All those things can be known. They're not a mystery, but it depends on the product and it depends on the demographic you're targeting. That is one way to do it. And you need to do that right. When we first started, I did it completely wrong. I spent maybe $10,000 on Facebook ads and got nothing, not a single dollar of revenue, because I didn't understand how it worked and I didn't do it very well. We don't do that anymore and it works well for us. But we didn't to start with, which underlines the need to know how it works and to get help with that. Learning to use social media correctly, the free way, learning to use ads most effectively across all those platforms is something that is known, and there are people who are expert at it, and go get help. Pay for good help, because the time it takes to figure it out yourself is long, it's a long game, and it changes every 2 or 3 or 4 weeks with tweaks in algorithms. And the algorithm that works for Facebook doesn't even begin to work for YouTube. Like, they're completely different intended audiences and intended use cases. The last piece I want to talk to you about is staff or freelancers. We don't have any permanent paid staff. Right now, we've experimented with that before, but what we do have is some pretty permanent freelancers. We use several freelancing platforms to find them. And again, that's trial and error. Okay. You need to go through several freelancers, use services that vet freelancers. We use Upwork a lot, which is the largest platform, but there's also freelancer.com, and there's also Fiverr, F-I-V-E-R-R, and Fiverr Pro, which is more expensive, but is ostensibly has a higher level of skill for products and services. You've got to vet them. You've got to talk to them. You've got to have a process to have a conversation with them. Here's a mistake I see, and we made this too. So many people want to have no communication. They want to send some emails and send a text and have it all just sort of happen. You've got to have personal contact. You've got to get to know and have conversations with your freelancers if you're going to use them for more than a single job. Now, you can have single job freelancers create me this graphic or a book cover or something. But if you're going to use them long term, which we do and are, then you need to talk to them. Examples that we use are, we use people to help us with social media, creating posts and posting it at certain times and in certain ways, according to what we talked about in part two. It's all free stuff. It's not free because I'm paying a freelancer to help me, but the social media doesn't cost anything. We also use them sometimes for ads, although Joy right now tends to do all of our ads because we know enough about that to make it work for ourselves. And because of our not so exciting experience with paid advertising when we hired other people to do it. So we have some permanent social media people. Joy has some freelancers that she uses regularly for book layout and book design, cover design, and that kind of thing. And we have others for graphics. We have a freelancer that we use permanently for graphics. And we had We had one for a year that did podcast work for us, finding me podcast guests, guesting slots, and we paid her for a time. We did that for about a year, and we've stopped doing that for a while, and we may do that again. But those are just examples. And you can find freelancers at to do anything, anything you can get done. But what it depends on is your ability to describe it clearly and your ability and willingness to have regular communication. So those are the steps. Those are the kinds of teams that we have and that we've experimented with. And those are team members that you're going to need at various stages in your business. Now, why did I take a whole episode to talk about the nuts and bolts of having teams in your business? And here's why. Because most of the people that come to my coaching have some kind of business they want to grow or improve, start, grow, or improve. They have that. And there are people in the business or clients that are making a lot of money. And so they're looking for efficiencies and improvement. They're looking for management processes and how to deal with teams. And I have extensive experience with that. Or they're starting business or trying to grow. And these areas are things that there's always struggle, always, oh, this mistake and that mistake. And so helping with those processes, how to hire, how to vet, how to communicate, how to fix mistakes, how to correct things that are going south. All of those things are regular management processes that are skill sets, and you can learn them. Now, here's the gem for today. Everything I talked about just now in the last, all the rest of the episode was about your business and about having a team for your business. It applies exactly, line for line, to other relationships in your life, because there are people in your life who function as your team, your support team, your cheerleading squad, or your hecklers, your naysayers. I mean, you and I both know there may be people of your friends or your family or your acquaintances that think you're nuts for pursuing the ultimate life, for trying to have a purpose-driven life, for trying to live with purpose, prosperity, and joy, for trying to make a difference in the world, for trying to use our phrase, add good to the world. They're going to think you're crazy. And they think, you know, you ought to get a regular job, or you ought to not take those chances and this and that. And so careful management of that team, because I talked about the team in the context of selling products and services, which is what the whole next episode is going to be about how to sell products and services, which is the lifeblood of every business. The other part of your team is your heart team. The team of your cheerleaders, the team of your encouragers, the place you go get advice and help when you fail or have problems, or you want to give up, or stuff isn't working out like you want. That is such an important part. And that team is your coach. And you may have some others too. But if you don't have good coaching, it's going to be really hard and slow to become successful. So as I mentioned, on all those, you can get help with social, you can get help with ads, you can get help with anything you need to do from freelancing, you can get help with direction, with consistency, with mindset, with overcoming barriers and blocks, with eliminating fear through good coaching. That's one of the reasons I love coaching so much, is because it is so much fun to help you create the life you want. Get that business or that thing that you want to do to impact the world, get that over the goal line so it's having the effect you want. That is so much fun for me. I had to learn all that. So I didn't just say, I can help you. I have walked the road, hired the coaches, created the products, done the mindset work, overcome my own decades of depression, addictions, suicide attempts. I have done all those things and walked that path. And so I absolutely believe in you. I know you can too, because there's nothing magic about me. I live and breathe as a coach. My commitment this year is to help 250 million people. You're one of them. To create your ultimate life, a life of purpose, prosperity, joy, excitement, fun, just where you love your life every single day. And you're not, oh, I'm overwhelmed. Oh, I have so much to do. You can get rid of all that. But it won't do it by itself. So I'm inviting you to connect. I invite you to subscribe. I invite you to reach out and let's talk. It's especially whether you're living your ultimate life or not, if you're living your ultimate life, I want to talk to you about guesting opportunities and spreading your message. You guesting on one of my many shows. If you're not living your ultimate life, stop putting it off. Stop giving up. Stop, you know, making it, well, someday, someday, someday. You know, someday never comes. So this is your invitation. Reach out. Let's talk. I know I can help you do your impossible things, get over your impossible goal lines, and move forward and create your ultimate life. Open your heart,
and this time around. Thank you for listening to today's episode. We hope that you take it deeply into your heart and decide for yourself how you can create anything you desire. If you like what you heard, please subscribe to this podcast and share it with your friends. As always, we'd love to hear your feedback and topic suggestions. Until tomorrow, this is Your Ultimate Life with host Kellen Flukiger. Stand with your heart in the sky and your feet.